Here's your money briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Companies involved in fracking or the extraction of oil and gas from underground rock formations were darlings of Wall Street. That is, until they couldn't score profits. In a moment, we'll tell you where the fracking companies are looking now to drill for cash. First, these money and market stories you should know. About half of U.S. workers say they need a side job to pay their bills. A survey from Bankrate.com says that number includes 48% of millennials. A side job, sometimes referred to as a side hustle, can provide an average of $1,122 per month. That's up from $686 last year. And about 40% of millennials who do work a job on the side say that gig brings in half of their monthly income. Now, Bankrate says the number of people with side jobs is rising because while expenses are rising, wages at their full-time jobs are staying fairly stagnant. In May, the Labor Department reported hourly wages rose 3.1% in May, but that figure is actually much lower when adjusted for inflation. And the Wall Street Journal examines the long road to today's student loan mess, in which borrowers currently owe more than $1.5 trillion in student loans, and more than 2 million of them have defaulted on their loans in just the past 6 years. It all goes back to the Higher Education Act of 1972, which created a permanent role for the government in guaranteeing student loans made by private banks. It also created the government agency known as Sallie Mae, which borrowed from the Treasury at low rates and used the money to buy student loans from banks, thus freeing up the banks to make even more loans to students. Schools then raised their prices, and millions of students who took out loans were forced to drop out. Even companies like Google and Apple have dropped college degree from the list of requirements for job applicants. So where does the system go from here? See the full story by Journal reporter Josh Mitchell on WSJ.com or the WSJ app. It wasn't that long ago when fracking was all the rage. All the rage, that is, for Wall Street until investors got impatient with fracking companies not turning profits. Wall Street Journal reporter Rebecca Elliott is on the line with us to talk about how fracking companies are finding new ways to drill for money now that the Wall Street money pipeline has, in some cases, dried up. So, Rebecca, let's catch everybody up for a moment. Fracking companies, also known as shale companies, they've helped turn the U.S. into a world oil production leader. And as a technology, fracking's been around for, what, about 60 years?
So fracking and horizontal drilling have really helped propel U.S. production in the last decade. And so right now, U.S. oil production is at about 12 million barrels a day, which is an all-time high. And it's made the U.S. the top oil producer in the world.
And just as a quick review, what is fracking?
So fracking is a process by which companies pump a mixture of typically sand, water, and chemicals into a hole in the ground to fracture the tight rock formations beneath and kind of create space for the oil and natural gas trapped there to come out and reach the surface.
All right. And how long has it been that Wall Street's been sort of riding these companies expecting profits?
For a long time, shale companies were generally funded as growth companies. And so they focused on growing production quickly year over year. And really in the last 2 years or so, investors have changed what they have asked of shale companies. And so rather than seeking a fast pace of growth, they're asking companies to moderate both growth and spending and to try to generate better returns and free cash flow.
And aside from Wall Street's impatience, the falling oil prices have hit these companies really hard in their pockets.
Right. Any time that oil prices decline as they have in recent days, it puts added strain on companies, particularly the ones that are smaller and might not have as much flexibility on their balance sheets.
But as you point out in the story you wrote with Christopher Matthews, even with tight finances, shale producers, they've been sort of reluctant to borrow to show and prove to their own investors that they're being smart with their budgets.
Right. Shareholders have been pressing companies quite hard to show increased discipline in their spending and borrowing habits. And so what we're seeing is that companies are a lot more reluctant to tap the equity and debt markets. And so they're instead turning to things like asset sales of pipeline or other infrastructure interests and other types of drilling partnerships that might provide them capital without putting debt on the balance sheet.
And smaller companies are being hit harder than the larger companies are. And what I thought was interesting is that some companies are really going a rather unorthodox route, and that is they're considering junk bonds.
The smaller companies generally don't have as much flexibility. And so whenever there's kind of a financing squeeze, it's typically the smaller companies that have the most trouble and kind of have to seek out the riskier financing.
And you also mentioned in the story that some frackers are considering what are known as drillco partnerships. Can you explain what those are?
One route that some companies are considering is of partnering with an outside investor who would put up the capital to drill a group of wells in exchange for most of the returns from the well's early life. And so for oil and gas companies, this provides them a way to access funding to drill wells that they otherwise might not be able to, and provides them kind of a modest return, but doesn't require them in most cases to list any debt on their balance sheets. And so it's a way of kind of threading the needle to either bring production on faster, maybe hold on to acreage that they otherwise might lose, while trying to satisfy some of the investor demands in the market right now.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal energy reporter Rebecca Elliott on the line with us from our Houston bureau. Rebecca, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.